Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. With the unanimous go-ahead given by Council this week, the city will be launching a car-sharing pilot program next year. Car sharing is a car rental service that allows people to use vehicles for short periods of time, often by the hour. Some of the benefits, according to Innovation Science and Economic Development Canada, include tackling traffic congestion, providing accessible travel options, and reducing pollution from vehicle use. Some studies estimating that every shared car could replace 15 individually owned vehicles. Kingston is teaming up with the largest car sharing service in Ontario, Communauto, for the 18-month pilot project. Communauto currently has 8 cars available for rental in Kingston, with over 215 users. This program would see the number of vehicles more than double, allowing for up to 20 vehicles, including one electric vehicle. This program will also expand car sharing beyond the downtown core and include Communauto locations and booking tools on the city's transit website. I sat down with Soren Christensen, project manager with the city's Climate Leadership Division, to discuss the program.
To start us off, for folks who have not made use of the Communauto cars that the city already has, what does the car sharing program look like?
There has been a car share service operating in Kingston for over a decade. And previously, it was under the banner of Virtue Car, and it's been Communauto for the last few years. And there are 8 vehicles in Kingston, mostly contained in the downtown area, and then one a bit further north off John Towner Boulevard. And essentially, Communauto is a subscription service. So you sign up on their platform, and then you can reserve vehicles. And you pick up a vehicle from one location, you can use it for however long you book it for, and then you return it to the same location. So that's essentially how it works.
As you mentioned, Communauto is sort of the one running this in Kingston. Now that the city has sort of voted on this motion, does that mean the city will be more involved in this 18-month pilot project?
That's a great question. So we will be pursuing a new agreement for the pilot project. The council recommendation was approved to enter into a new agreement with Communauto and also for a budget amendment for $20,000 from the cash in lieu of parking levy to be moved and utilized internally so that we can offer parking spaces to Communauto at no cost for their operations so that we can incentivize them to expand their service across the city.
And what made the city want to expand this into a larger program?
So the intent to expand came from a council strategic priority in the strategic plan. So there was an item to explore and encourage a comprehensive car sharing program. And so staff conducted comprehensive research looking at both leading cities across Canada and also comparable small medium-sized cities to Kingston. So we looked at Guelph, Hamilton, London, Toronto, Waterloo, Halifax, and Vancouver, and saw what was out there, and then approached Communauto for non-binding discussions because they already operate in Kingston. We have a current licensing agreement because they utilize a couple municipal spaces in a municipal lot downtown, and started to discuss, you know, what it would look like for them to expand, and also looked at any other proponents across the province. It's a very limited market, and really Communauto is the biggest player in town. So we saw it as the most obvious path forward to try and expand their service in Kingston and support that through the pilot program. And so that is what we've done so far. And now that we have council approval both to enter into the agreement and to redirect this funding, which is not being paid to Communauto, but essentially allows us to offer up municipal parking spaces in certain lots at no cost to Communauto, that will allow us to really push forward a new chapter of growth for the service in Kingston. And we also plan to really communicate and help to get the word out on how the service works and how people can take part in it, so that we can really grow that market and start to scale the program, because the more vehicles that are available, the more convenient it will be, and the more likely that individuals will start to actually use that service. And there are so many different demographics that can really benefit from a car sharing service. So we're very excited to see hopefully some significant growth in the area where it makes sense to access a car sharing service.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about that, actually. The city might not have this data yet. This might be something that you're seeking from this pilot project. But who uses car sharing programs? Who do you think this is going to benefit?
That's a great question. So there are numerous demographics that can really benefit from a car sharing service. So I'll just give a few examples. Students could really benefit. So you have to be 19 years of age or older to use Comunato. So that covers students in their upper years of their undergrad. And that could be the reason, you know, the access to a car sharing service could be the reason that you choose to leave a family vehicle at home when you come for your semester to study at Queen's or St. Lawrence College. So there's definitely benefits there for someone who might only need a car occasionally for a big grocery haul or to run an errand or something like that. It can be great for families. It could be the reason that a family chooses to not replace or buy a second or third vehicle, because they might only need access for occasional trips, and so they could save a significant amount of money, over $10,000 a year for operating costs for a single occupancy vehicle that typically would be utilized 10 or only, you know, 5 or 10% of the time. And then it's also a great service for, let's say, those who want to commute to work using an active form of transportation, let's say walking, or they want to cycle, or occasionally take transit. In the event that perhaps your kid is sick and you need to pick them up for daycare, or there's some other kind of emergency situation or extenuating circumstance that pops up, it gives commuters peace of mind that, okay, I can bike, I can walk to work, but if something pops up and I really need a car, I can access it through a car sharing service. And then it also enables those who are really endeavoring to live car-free. So you may own a car that's coming to the end of its life, or you may not own a car and really only need access to it on a very occasional basis. It's very cost effective, and it does not lead to a significant number of elective trips. So if you don't own a car and you're signed up for a car sharing service, you're still much more likely to use active transportation for the majority of your trips, for walking, you know, walking and cycling. And then only if you really need it would you access that car share service. So yeah, lots of different demographics across the city. And we're also looking at ways that we can strategically position vehicles and plan for the service so that it's supportive to our existing transit service, and so that we're not trying to replace transit trips with car share utilization, but trying to fill gaps across the city where, you know, over time, our transit service may be expanded to or may not.
Thank you for all those examples. And just to finish us off, we have 18 months of this pilot program. What benefits will be measured throughout this? What can we expect to hear back after the next 18 months?
That's a good question. So we don't have a finalized agreement, so I can't speak to specific KPIs, but we would hope to have some specific information related to, you know, usership and how many kilometers may have been traveled, and some other data that we can hopefully derive to show environmental benefits and, you know, potentially economic benefits, etc.
Once again, that was Soren Christensen, project manager with the city's Climate Leadership Division, on the upcoming car sharing pilot program that was approved by council this week. This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
Hello everyone, this is Ali Safadi, CFRC's campus news reporter, bringing you the latest on environmental science breakthroughs celebrated nationwide and at Queen's University. Queen's spotlights two prominent researchers recognized with Canada's top science honors for their commitment to environmental protection and sustainability. Queen's University has long been a leader in research excellence. And this year, two of its own, Dr. Carrie Rowe and Dr. John Small, have been recognized by the Natural Sciences and Engineering Research Council of Canada, the NSERC, for their career and lifetime achievements in environmental science. Dr. Carrie Rowe has been awarded the esteemed Gerard Herzberg Canada Gold Medal for Science and Engineering, recognizing his latest influence and consistent excellence in environmental research. This award, Canada's top honor in the natural sciences and engineering, underscores his transformative work in geoenvironmental engineering. Dr. Rowe is a trailblazer in geoenvironmental engineering. He has made significant impact on sustainable waste management practices worldwide. His work focuses on designing advanced barriers that protect soil and groundwater from contamination. These barriers have proven critical in preventing environmental damages in landfills and other waste storing facilities. Furthermore, his insights have reshaped standards across this field. Equally notable is Dr. John Small's recent award, the Donna Strickland Prize for Societal Impact in Natural Sciences and Engineering. This award honors those whose research has led to significant benefits for society, the environment, or the economy. Dr. Small, an expert in ecological change and climate impact, studies lake ecosystems as indicators of environmental shifts. Through paleolimnology, the study of ancient lake sediment, he has highlighted how human activity and climate change alter natural habitats. Dr. Small's research serves as a powerful tool for policymakers, providing evidence to inform environmental protections and combating the loss of biodiversity. His findings have illuminated the effects of climate change on freshwater ecosystems, especially in Arctic regions, emphasizing the importance of preserving these critical environments. These awards underscore the dedication of Queen's University researchers to tackling global environmental challenges. Congratulations to Dr. Carrie Rowe and Dr. John Small on these well-deserved recognitions and awards. Their work truly exemplifies how scientific research at Queen's continues to lead the way in fostering a sustainable future. For more details on their research, make sure to check out the Queen's Gazette that covers their entire research and these awards. As always, thank you everyone for listening. This is Ali Safadi, CFRC's campus news reporter. Make sure to tune in, stay informed, and we'll see you next time.
This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and this is your sports report for Monday, November 11th, 2024. It was a historic weekend for the Queen's men's cross country team, who took home their first national championship since 1984. Jude Wheeler Dee was the top finisher of the day for the Gaels, crossing the line 13th overall with a final time of 23 minutes and 49 seconds, and he was followed closely by his teammate Roman Mironov, who finished 14th with the same time. The Gaels team of Jude Wheeler Dee, Roman Mironov, Will Cox, Tanner Hughlin, Angus Skinner, Peter Neal, and Miles Brackenberry finished with a combined 94 points. Head coach Mark Bomba would receive the U Sports Men's Cross Country Coach of the Year award for his team's national title finish. It was also an outstanding weekend for the Queen's women's volleyball team, who hosted two games at the Arc Friday night and Saturday night. In both contests, they took on a top-tier Windsor Lancers team and swept them on Friday and Saturday. A consistent thread running through both games was the outstanding performance of Hannah Ducheneau and Claire Carter, who held up the majority of the Gaels' offensive firepower. On defense, Amanda Sixna and Christine Abu played consequential roles, and in the Saturday night contest, it was a block from Abu that sealed the 3-0 sweep. The men's volleyball team also played two games over the weekend. They dropped the first to the Windsor Lancers by a score of 3-1, but they came out focused on Saturday night and took control early. It was the efforts of Zig Leaches, Chris Zimmerman, and Reed Venning that allowed the Gaels to power past the undefeated Lancers by a score of 3-0. The men's and women's team will be hosting the Waterloo Warriors this weekend. The first game is 6 p.m. Friday. That'll be the women kicking things off, with the men following at 8 p.m. And then on Saturday, November 16th, the women will kick things off at 4 p.m. with the men following at 6. That's a wrap for today's sports report. This is Jesse Bell signing off and throwing it back to Christina Laurie for more news that you can use.
Now for your CFRC weather report for this evening. Tonight, we're expecting rain showers ending late this evening, then cloudy skies with a 30% chance of showers and flurries overnight. We have a low of +1. On Tuesday, November 12th, we're expecting a mix of sun and cloud with a high of plus 5. Tuesday night, clear skies with a low of minus 4. On Wednesday, November 13th, we're expecting sunny skies with a high of plus 5. Wednesday night, cloudy skies with a low of plus 1. On Thursday, November 14th, we'll have cloudy skies with a high of 7 during the day, and then cloudy skies with a low of minus 2 at night. On Friday, November 15th, sunny skies with a high of 7, and then cloudy periods at night with a low of 2. That wraps up your quick weather report for this evening, and next up is your CFRC traffic report with Jesse Bell.
This is the City of Kingston traffic report for the week of Monday, November 11th, 2024. We'll begin with some specific Remembrance Day-related road closures. Baggett Street, Berry to West will be closed from 10 a.m. to 12:45 p.m. Berry Street, King to Stewart will be closed from 10:20 a.m. to 12 p.m. King Street, Berry to West will be closed from 10:20 a.m. to 12 p.m. King Street, Lower University to Berry will be closed from 8:15 a.m. to 12 p.m. And Ontario Street, Berry to West, will be closed from 11 a.m. to 12:45 p.m. in observance of annual Remembrance Day ceremonies. Here are some other road closures you should be aware of this week. Abbeydon Road, Highway 2 to Middle, will be closed to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Albert Street, Earl to Union, is closed until November 19th for servicing works. A reminder that Princess to 486 Albert Street is closed until December 31st to accommodate construction and staging at 484 Albert Street. Collingwood Street, Earl to Union, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Cooper Street, Albert to Collingwood, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Dufferin, Baggett to Rideau, is closed until November 13th for servicing work. Kings Court Avenue, Hillcrest to Kirkpatrick, is closed to accommodate a water main replacement. Old Colony Road, Taylor Kidd to Brayside, is closed November 11th to 14th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. each day for the decommissioning of booster stations. Union Street, Willingdon to Albert, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. And University Avenue, Union to Earl, is closed for construction related to activity at the Queen's John Deutsch University Center project. Here are some other delays to keep an eye on this week. Aberdeen Street, Johnson to Earl, expect delays and closures along Aberdeen for a contractor to complete road and sewer reconstruction. Bay Ridge Drive, Princess to Taylor Kidd, expect delays while a contractor begins Phase 2 of the Bay Ridge Drive active transportation upgrades. Collins Bay Road, Prince Charles to Edwin and Princess, expect delays while a contractor completes Phase 2 of the Princess and Collins Bay active transportation improvements. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford, expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal updates, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Sir John A. MacDonald Boulevard at Elmwood. Expect delays while a contractor upgrades the intersection at Sir John A. MacDonald Boulevard and Elmwood Street, including replacement of street lighting, new traffic lights, replacement of asphalt on roadways, and a new multi-use pathway south of the intersection towards Bath Road. And that is your traffic report for the week of Monday, November 11th, 2024.
Now it's time for your CFRC community events calendar. Have an event you'd like covered on our website and news programming? Contact us today at cfrc.ca. Tonight, the Brass and One-Eyed Jacks will host their weekly trivia games at 7 p.m. and 7:45 respectively. Also, right after tonight's program at 5:30 p.m., you can tune in to the live broadcast of Chancellor Sheila Rogers' installation reception at the Isabel from 5:30 to 7 p.m. right here on CFRC. On Tuesday, November 12th, Addiction and Mental Health Services KFLNA is hosting a music and mental health drop-in group where folks can bring instruments and make new friends. This event is taking place at 552 Princess Street at 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. Also on Tuesday, Friendship Blooms Craft Club is running its intergenerational craft session from 10 to 12 at Kingston Community Health Centers on Weller Avenue. The Kingston Public Market will be open from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. tomorrow at Springer Market Square. You can also grab your runners and head over to Lululemon downtown at 5:30 p.m. for a weekly fun run. Jog, mingle, and have fun. The run is for all ages and abilities. finally Tuesday night, Deaf Brewing is also hosting a Euchre Night starting at 7 p.m. On Wednesday, November 13th, head over to the Rideau Heights Community Center for the Fresh Food Pop-Up Market, featuring fresh, healthy, and affordable food options between 2 to 5 p.m. Musiki Cafe is also hosting its weekly life drawing event. Bring your own art supplies and $5 and participate in uninstructed life drawing and make new friends. The Grad Club is hosting the Be Kind Rewind Drag Celebration of the 90s, featuring performances from some of your favorite local drag entertainers, as well as music videos. Show off your knowledge with 90s trivia and your footbag skills with a hacky sack contest. The fun starts at 8 p.m. and tickets are $12. Something in the Water Brewing and Daft Brewing will also be hosting their trivia night starting at 7 p.m. And One Eye Jacks will host North End Board Games Night for free, also starting at 7. Daft Brewing will host Drag Bingo with Rowena Way starting at 7:30 p.m. to finish off the night on Wednesday. On Thursday, November 14th, the Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. You can also head out Thursday to Kingston Community Health Centers, which will be hosting the weekly Penguin Senior Social Group for individuals 55 plus from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. Also on Thursday, head over with your runners to Runner's Choice for the weekly Out in Front Running Group for 2S LGBTQ plus runners ready to run at 6:15 p.m. for 5 to 6 kilometers, followed by a post-run social. On Friday, November 15th, the YMCA will host its weekly Fresh Food Pop-Up Market from 9:30 to 12:30, a great opportunity to get fresh food at great prices. The Grad Club will also host a hypnotic bar experience, a live comedy show with hypnotist Albert Narenberg, starting at 8 p.m. That wraps up your CFRC events calendar for this week, and next up is your concerts calendar with Noah.
And now it's time for the CFRC Concerts Calendar for this week. Starting off our week on Monday, November 11th, 100 years from now, a musical of love, family, and the Great War will be live at the Kingston Grand Theater. The show starts at 7, doors at 6:30, and tickets are $65. Also on Monday, come down to the Cove Inn's monthly musical residency. Jonathan Jones is delivering a blend of folk, country, and blues. The show runs from 5 to 8 p.m. Admission is by donation. Coming up on Tuesday, November 12th, head over to the Brass Pub to hear local singer-songwriter Nolan Hubbard's live solo music. Running from 9:30 to midnight, admission is free. The Forgot My Ex tour is coming to Kingston. Come catch Baloney Colorado and the Clay Pigeons at the Clark Hall Pub at 8 p.m. Admission is $11.20. If you're looking to support a local nonprofit, the Spectrum Voices fundraiser is taking place at the Grad Club at 6:30 p.m. Admission is by donation. Alice in the World We Live In will also be at the Kingston Grand Theater Tuesday through Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Ticket information can be found at kingstongrand.ca. You can also head to the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 to hear Canadian country artist Tegan McLaren. Admission is by donation. This Wednesday the 13th, Be Kind and Rewind, a drag tribute to the 90s, is happening from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the Grad Club. Admission is $11.98 to $15. If you feel like taking the stage, come over and visit the open mic at Hotel Wolf Island, a free show starting at 7 p.m. You can also head out to the Cove Inn from 5:30 to 8:30 for Wings and Tunes on the patio. Don't forget about karaoke at the Mansion starting at 9 p.m. Admission is free. Thursday the 14th, come check out the John McLurg Band from 7 to 10 p.m. for some early evening tunes at the RCHA. Admission is $5. Original Thursdays with Doc McLean returns to the Cove Inn from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Admission is $10. Take the ferry and head over to see Wedding and Cram Jefferson performing live at Hotel Wolf Island from 8:30 to 11:30. Admission is by donation. Red Wine, the ultimate party experience combining dance hall, afro beats, and amapiano vibes, take place at the Mansion from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Admission is $17.31. And feel free to stop by karaoke, hosted by Jeremy Green, live at the Royal Tavern 2.0 at 9 p.m. Admission is free. Friday the 15th, R&R Karaoke starts at 6 p.m. at a Pizza Pie and Cheese House. Admission is free. Emile Steele and The Deal, Dennis Bowman, and The Wild Roses celebrate the release of their new album at the Broom Factory, starting at 7:30 p.m. Admission is $22.63. Happy Hour TGIF with the Smokin' Roosters is free this Friday at the club at the RCHA from 6 to 8 p.m. Then from 8 to 11 p.m. at the club at the RCHA. KBS presents the Gary Kendall Trio, a true stalwart of the Toronto blues scene. Admission is $30. Matt Dixon will perform a classic rock marathon starting at 5 p.m. at the Cove Inn. Admission is by donation. Thrasher, Hieronymus Harry, Matthew Dunn, all bands from Owen Sound in Toronto are performing from 8:30 to 11:30 at Hotel Wolf Island. Admission is $15. At 8:30, come see the Limestone Guardians drag show at the Modern Fuel Artist Run Center. Admission is $15. Citizen 3 with Peter Kopp, Jay Godin, and Scotty Dwyer will be live at the Old English Pub starting at 7:30 p.m. Admission is free. Starting at 5 p.m., the Black Rapids Crossfire will be live at the Royal Tavern 2.0, followed shortly after by Sweet Cheetah starting at 9 p.m. Admission is free. If you want to sing, come attend Open Mic with Michael George that'll be live at the Spearhead Brewery from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Admission is free. An event you won't want to miss, Candlelight, an event at the Spire featuring Vivaldi's Four Seasons and More starting at 6:30 p.m., followed shortly after by Candlelight, a tribute to Taylor Swift, will be live at the Spire starting at 8:45 p.m. Admission for each event
event is $25 to $40. Free for All Fridays with music by Guido will take over Sage's nightclub from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. The show comes with admission. The Celtic Kitchen Party will be live at Tiernan Og Irish Pub. Admission is free. The show runs from 9 p.m. to midnight. Saturday the 16th, Karis X Featurette will be live at the Broom Factory at 7:30 p.m. Admission is $15. Heatwave will be performing classics at the club at the RCHA starting at 8 p.m. Admission is $20. Local talent Scott Owen and Lee Francoeur will be performing at the Creekside Bar and Grill starting at 7 p.m. Admission is $10. The Daylight Savings Tour, Schoolhouse X Clay Hazy X Jade Hilton will be live at the Grad Club from 7:30 to 11:30. Admission is $15. Chris Coaster of the Glorious Sons will be performing at Hotel Wolf Island from 8:30 to 10:30. Admission is $30. The Viano String Quartet with Milos will be performing live at the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts from 2:30 to 4:30 p.m. Admission is $15 to $72. From 1 to 2:30, Vibrant Voices, a song circle for two SLGBTQIA+ community and allies will be live at the Kingston Frontenac Public Library. Admission is free. 2024, a sci-fi odyssey, music from famous science fiction classics will be live at the Kingston Grand Theater from 7:30 to 9 p.m. Admission is $10 to $52. A variety show by the North Frontenac Little Theater is fundraising featuring local talent at the Soldiers Memorial Hall at 3 p.m. Admission is by donation. Chrome Heart and Wayne Riley will be performing at the Spearhead Brewery from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Admission is free. Following up at the Spearhead Brewery, Frank Ryan, a rock singer from Dublin, will be performing from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Admission is free. Experiment 1A, Tabula Rasa Laboratory, presented by Of the Sea Productions, will be performed at the Spire both Saturday and Sunday, starting at 2 p.m. and 3 p.m. respectively. Admission is $11.20. Later at the Spire, the Candlelight Tributes continue, starting with a tribute to Adele, starting live at 6:30 p.m. Admission is $25 to $40. And following up with a tribute to Coldplay and Imagine Dragons, the show will be starting at 8:45 p.m. Admission is the same price. Nicholas Campbell with the 2 Meter Cheaters and Emile Steele will be performing old school rock and roll starting at 7:30 p.m. at Margaret's Hall. Admission is $20 to $25. Powderfinger will be performing live at Tiernan Og from 9 p.m. to midnight. Admission is free. The Tone Cats will be performing classic rock at the Toucan starting at 10:30 p.m. Admission is free. Sunday the 17th, Shane Coisen will be performing at the Broom Factory at 7:30. Admission is $40. Sunday Fun Day, Chicken Pickens Matinee, a country music show, will be live at the Cove Inn from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Admission is $10. Sundays with Eric and Megan returns at the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 p.m. Admission is by donation. Grace Dixon will be performing at the Elm Cafe from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Admission is by donation. The Killdeers, a local indie folk group, will perform at the McKinnon Brothers Brewery from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Admission is free. The Ontario Festival of Small Halls with the Sky Diggers will take place at the Regent Theatre at 7:30 p.m. Admission is $56.50. Dave McGrath will be performing at the Spearhead Brewery from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Admission is free. Have a concert you would like to see listed on CFRC's website and announced on our airwaves? Reach out on our website contact page at cfrc.ca. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.